A man stood before it with his arms clasped behind him. From up here he looked as though he were studying the painting, trying to decipher the famously enigmatic smile, maybe, but Pimley knew better. The men and women holding magazines looked as though they were reading too, but if you were right down there, you'd see that they were gazing blankly over the tops of their McCalls and their Harpers, or a little off to one side. An 11- or 12-year-old girl in a gorgeous striped summer dress that might have cost $1,600 in a Rodeo Drive kitty boutique was sitting before a dollhouse on the hearth, but Pimley knew she wasn't paying any attention to the exquisitely made replica of Damley at all. 33 of them down there. 33 in all. At 8 o'clock, an hour after the artificial sun snapped off, 33 fresh breakers would troop in, and there was one fellow, one and one only, who came and went just as he pleased. A fellow who'd gone under the wire and paid no penalty for it at all, except for being brought back, that was, and for this man, that was penalty enough. As if the thought had summoned him, the door at the end of the room opened and Ted Brodigan slipped quietly in. He was still wearing his tweed riding cap. Danica Rostov looked up from the dollhouse and gave him a smile. Brodigan dropped her a wink in return. Pimley gave Finley a little nudge. Finley, I see him. But it was more than seeing, they felt him. The moment Brodigan came into the room, those on the balcony, and, much more important, those on the floor, felt the power level rise. They still weren't completely sure what they'd gotten in Brodigan. And the testing equipment didn't help in that regard. The old dog had blown out several pieces of it himself, and on purpose, the master was quite sure. If there were others like him, the low men had found none on their talent hunts, now suspended. They had all the talent they needed to finish the job.